Welcome to God and Country Radio, a weekend program where I discuss current political, social, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. After finishing my 13-week series on the biblical doctrines of civil government, this week I'm getting back to regular commentary on the news. Now, if you're like me, you're probably getting tired of the 24/7 news cycle. I personally would just walk away from the whole thing if it weren't for the fact that this is God's world, and we should be aware of what's happening in this world. We should know the signs of the time. And I still see all of the nonsense as a tool to illustrate truth. We know what the scriptures say about man's sin, but here's an example of it. And here's a text that addresses the issue. The machinations of human government can lead people to Christ and his kingdom. You know, like when God allowed the Pharaoh of Egypt, Shishak, to defeat Israel and turn Israel into one of his vassal nations. The prophet Samuel explains the situation in a most surprising way. 2 Chronicles 12:8. But they, Israel, will become his slaves, the slaves of the Pharaoh of Egypt, so that they may learn a difference between my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. In other words, you want to forsake God? You want to forsake God's law? Then maybe you're going to have to serve the devil for a little while until you learn your lesson. Now, fortunately in that text, because of Shishak, king of Egypt, the elders of Israel and the king humbled themselves. You know, would to God that the people of America would humble themselves and turn back to God because of the economic and moral lawlessness breaking out in our nation. Well, the topic for this week is the upcoming election. And I just want to begin by having us consider the importance of the vote. I mean, what does it really mean? Don't take the vote lightly. Jesus told the people in his day, Matthew chapter 12, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." In the context, the Pharisees were lobbying against Jesus, in a sense campaigning against Jesus. And they're calling Jesus Beelzebub, Satan. Do politicians and political hotheads ever call their opponents names, like Hitler? Absolutely. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people are ambassadors of Beelzebub, but you just better get it right. You better not be making the wrong choice in your vote, calling good evil and evil good. Jesus also said in that text, in responding to his opposition, Matthew 12:33, "A tree is known by its fruit." In other words, who you are is exposed by what you say and do. Your opinions and your worldview is not separate from you. It's not a mistake. It's not simply a miscalculation, but a reflection of who you really are spiritually and morally. And Jesus said that a tree is either good or bad. The problem is the person himself. The fruit or the actions don't make the person. They show the person. The problem is a bad heart. Then Jesus went on to say, "You brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak what's good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." The problem is not the mouth. The problem is not the lever you pull in the voting booth. The problem is the heart. An evil heart will make evil choices. Matthew 12:35, "The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Every idle word and every idle vote will judge a man because it reflects who we are. The vote reflects the condition or the values in our soul. We reflect in the physical world our spiritual condition. And that's why the way an individual votes or the way a nation votes is no small thing. Let's look at some voting examples in the Bible. And the first text that comes to my mind is the prophet Micah. Micah chapter 2, verse 11. If a man walks after wind and falsehood, and has told lies, saying, I will speak out to you concerning wine and liquor, he would be the spokesman to this people. Unquote. Even in the monarchy system of ancient Israel, the people would show their support for certain kings or princes, elders, judges, prophets, based on differing ideologies and policy. And here the prophet explains that the people want someone who will tell them lies and falsehood. They want to hear lies because there are people who do not want to hear the truth. So the representatives they choose will reflect their own false worldview. And furthermore, the people want a representative who's a good old boy who's like them in their drunkenness. The spokesperson who talks about wine and liquor will get their vote. Now, it must be pointed out that every politician will call his opponent a liar and one who preaches falsehood. Every politician calls his opponent a big wind. I mean, after listening to Joe Biden's campaign speech at Valley Forge, you would think that Joe Biden is the epitome of virtue and Donald Trump is a tyrant. Joe Biden sought to identify himself with George Washington, and he depicted Donald Trump as Adolf Hitler. But then, after listening to Donald Trump at his town meeting, one would think that Trump is righteous and Biden is corrupt. So, evil will always depict itself as righteous, and those who believe in moral relativism are going to be in a quandary. But when the prophet Micah speaks of those who walk after wind and falsehood, biblical morality and the biblical worldview is the standard by which these things are to be judged. Wind and falsehood would be that which violates the law of nature and nature's God. Immorality, murder, abortion, theft, transgenderism. If you have a God-centered biblical worldview, you will discern the righteous candidate. But if you're on Satan's side, you will vote for one who reflects Satan's worldview. Human autonomy. Do your own thing. Morality is a human construct. Just judge people according to racial identity. Everything's to be judged by possessions and how much everyone owns. Well, moving on to some other biblical examples of people reflecting the state of their souls in the vote. In number 16, we have the family of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rebelling against Moses. They wanted to replace Moses with one of their own. And the people are given a choice to be on Moses' side or Korah's side. At Mount Sinai, the people had to make a choice. A vote for policy. Exodus 24:7. Then Moses took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do and we will be obedient. And then when the 12 spies returned from checking out the promised land, people had to decide whether they were going to follow the 10 spies who advised not to enter the land of Canaan or follow Joshua and Caleb who advised that they should follow God and go into the land of Canaan. And then after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, the people had to again reaffirm their choice. Deuteronomy 5, the people said to Moses, speak to us all that the Lord our God speaks to you and we will hear it and do it. And then after the people settled in the land, the people again had to choose. Joshua said to the people, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua wasn't simply asking them to choose a name for their God. These pagan idols of the Amorites and the Babylonians represented certain worldviews, certain moral practices. The God that the people were choosing was a lifestyle choice. In Judges chapter 6, the people had to choose whether to follow Gideon or cower to the invading Midianites. In Judges chapter 9, the people had to choose whether to continue to follow the leadership of Gideon's family or put into a power a man named Abimelech. Abimelech was financed by the priests of Baal, and in Judges chapter 9, verse 4, he used the money to hire worthless and reckless people to follow him. And there are always plenty of people willing to support the candidate with the satanic immoral worldview. And then later, the people of Israel had to decide for the rule of David or the rule of the house of Saul. 2 Samuel 3:1, now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, two political parties. David was the serious follower of the law of Jehovah. The house of Saul, more ecumenical, quasi-Jehovah worship and beliefs. And ultimately, the nation of Israel had to choose between Jesus, the way of righteousness and humility, versus Barabbas, the political terrorist. And we know how that worked out. Matthew 27, Pilate said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they said, "Crucify him." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I'm innocent of this man's blood." And all the people said, "His blood be on us and our children." Wow. God does hold us accountable for those we choose. Those we choose will determine our destiny. Make no mistake about it. When it comes to voting, we get exactly what we deserve and exactly what we need. Because the candidate we choose reflects our values. Matthew 12:33 again. A tree is known by its fruit. Matthew 12:35. A good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and an evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6. Quote, "Do not let your speech cause you to sin. And do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake." Unquote. Why? Because it's never a mistake. We choose according to the disposition of our soul. And the knowledge we have at any given time, the knowledge by which we make choices, is knowledge that we have chosen to retain or focus on. So this is why the Bible always speaks about God judging man according to belief. Did you ever notice this? Genesis chapter 15, Abraham believed God, and God counted it to Abraham as righteousness. The prophet Habakkuk, the famous text, "The just shall live by faith." Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith." To live by his faith is not talking about living a life of faith, but in order to have life, eternal life with God, one must have faith. Faith and belief are synonymous. Faith is the French word. Belief is the Anglo-Saxon word. Both words made it into the King James Version of the Bible because English has both Saxon and French words. But in the Greek and in the Hebrew, it's one word. And the prophet Habakkuk is not talking about having faith in faith or belief in belief. It's about having the content of one's belief, God's worldview. Only then will a person have eternal life. And remember, Jesus said God hinges everything upon people's belief. John 3:14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Wow. Is all of that based on whether we believe the right thing? Absolutely. Because what we believe reflects our moral choice. Whether we're on God's side, and we accept his worldview about his authority, about what he said concerning sin and righteousness, or whether we want Satan's worldview and what Satan says about what's right and wrong. Now, granted, most people don't realize the implication of their political, moral, lifestyle choices. They don't even think very deeply about why they choose what they choose or why they believe what they believe. But even though we may suppress our reasons, even though we may rationalize and excuse our moral choices, God doesn't. We are moral creatures. And we make permanent moral choices based on who we are and what we believe. And that's why God is holding everyone accountable to what they believe. It's a window into their soul. This is basic to the Christian worldview, that beliefs matter. And it's so basic that sometimes we miss it and forget to teach it. And don't think for a minute that those who are on the side of evil don't care about beliefs, that they're willing to accept all beliefs, but not so. Satan himself cares about what people believe because he knows the values of belief. He just wants everyone to believe in him. You know, the political left, for all they say about tolerance and, you know, moral relativism, they aren't that way at all. They protest and riot when people don't believe their beliefs. And if you don't believe the way they believe, they see you as evil. Beliefs do matter. And the answer is not relativism. There's no sitting on the fence. Ultimately, it's either God or Satan. Back to the Matthew chapter 12 text, where Jesus said, every idle word men shall speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. There Jesus also said, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. In other words, there's no middle ground. You're either on the side of God or you are by default on the side of Beelzebub. So that was kind of a long introduction about what's really going on in the election, in our voting. The upcoming election will expose our beliefs, and our beliefs are everything. What I'd now like to do is talk about the position of the two candidates, the two parties, their beliefs, their worldview. But I'm just going to have to leave that to my extended video version of this program. I post that to YouTube each week, God and Country Biblical Exposition. All I have time for here is to again emphasize that there is good, there is evil, there are good and evil candidates, there are good and evil parties, there is truth and there is falsehood, and it's all discernible. Now, of course, today many claim that, oh, both parties are evil, or simply it's just a mixture of good and evil in each party, all sorts of moral confusion and ambiguity abound. It reminds me of ancient Israel. In 1 Kings 18, when the wicked king Ahab finally catches up to the prophet Elijah, and he says to Elijah, it's you, the troubler of Israel. But Elijah says back to Ahab, I haven't troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord Yahweh and have followed the Baals. So is the ideology or the belief system of Baal versus the ideology and the belief system of Jehovah. Baal was the ideology of ecumenical pluralism, immorality, child sacrifice, LGBTQ, do your own thing. The goal was immoral freedom. Jehovah, Yahweh worship, was a belief in standards of morality. Marriage is one man, one woman. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery. But what's interesting is that Ahab and Elijah each attributed the trouble of Israel, economic trouble, war, famine, to their opposing worldview or religion. Does that sound familiar? That's what politics is all about. And Elijah and Ahab could have gone back and forth all day long like two junior high boys. saying, no, you're the trouble of Israel. Oh yeah, no way. That's you, but what am I? Or it takes one to know one. But Elijah ends the conversation by pointing out that there is a standard by which these things can be judged. You're the trouble of Israel because you have forsaken the commandments of God and have followed the Baals. Now, at that point, King Ahab could have made the argument that he believes Baal is the true God, that Baal is really the creator God, and the creator God is really not that interested in human moral behavior. But King Ahab says no more. And here's something that we should always bear in mind. Politicians, social leaders, especially those on the left, never really want to reveal or argue the source of their core foundational beliefs, because then they'd have to reveal their theology. Who's their God? What's his character? And if you go deep into any moral policy argument, eventually it comes down to what you believe about who should be the God of this world. So instead, politicians always keep the discussion very shallow and always resort to political sloganeering. Well, anyway, Elijah says that he will prove that Jehovah is the true God. He tells Ahab to get the people and the prophets of Baal and meet him up on top of Mount Carmel. Elijah gets there and he asks the people, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. Why? Because they were like so many people today, morally clueless, morally confused by their own sin and biases. So what was going on in Israel in the days of Elijah and Ahab is what happens in every age. It's all about choice between Jehovah God's worldview and Satan's worldview. Think I'm exaggerating? In San Francisco, there's a Lutheran church, pastored by a Reverend Stacy Bourne, who describes herself as a priestess of ritual. And she has turned the church into a goddess-inclusive congregation. The purpose of the church is to honor the goddess and the divine feminine, to be in solidarity with all who are oppressed and denied equal rights, and to advocate for lesbian, gays, bisexuals, transgenders, and queers. Her transgender co-pastor has placed idols of various gods throughout the sanctuary, and in the leadership of the church is a priestess witch who offers astrology readings and celebrates the yearly solstices and equinoxes. You know, this church is part of the Sierra Pacific Synod and the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And similar religious congregations are all over America. And it's the ideology of state universities and political parties. You might say that's an extreme example. Not really. This is where people are at when the cover is removed. But everyone's on a scale. They're either moving toward God or they're moving in the other direction. And where people are at is exposed by life choices, even their political vote. Matthew 12:37, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can get the links to the extended video version of this program at YouTube and Rumble. Again, it's godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Stand firm in the truth. May Jesus Christ reign.